I have a feeling by this end of the end of tonight, I'm going to hear some of your stories. When I have talked about this subject in the past, everyone seems to have a story. But our purpose tonight is to give some biblical perspective on this very deadly, dangerous crisis in which we find ourselves in this evening. I would like to begin by indicating to you what the Bible has to say regarding both the origin and the value of life. Our society does not place proper value on human life. It has not for a long time, and I do not anticipate that it will in the future. In Genesis chapter 1, where the origin of life is identified for us, we read, "And God said in Genesis 1 and verses 26 and 27, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." God is the origin of life. Man, or God made man differently than how he had the rest of creation. Man symbolized the very pinnacle of what he'd made. Creating man after his image, in his likeness. In chapter 2, in verse 7, we're told that the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Another distinguishing feature from the rest of creation. Animals don't have souls, but we do. In Genesis chapter 9, we're told here, in the wake of the devaluing of life, in verse 6 of Genesis 9, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall blood be shed, for in the image of God created he man." The origin and value of life becomes the reason why God gives such a response when man would commit the act of murder. Continuing along this line, the Bible has a great deal to say, to emphasize to us about the body, because the body comes from God. The body is the keeper of the soul. The body is valuable, and because of the fact God has given us our bodies, He has indicated to us how it is we are to use our bodies. When God breathed into man, man became a living soul. Therefore, the body becomes the mechanism whereby we express the soul. I don't know how often you really think about that, but there is a relationship between body and soul. And understanding that relationship is critically important for us in recognizing why it matters how we use our bodies, what we do with our bodies. The condition of the body impacts the soul. Likewise, the condition of the soul impacts the body. Now you think about that for a minute. What can be seen visibly on the outside might be quite an indication about what is going on with one's soul. And the same is true considering the soul. When a man's soul is right with the Lord, his body and what he does or what he doesn't do with the body is going to be an indication of that. Balance must exist between body and soul. When we're lacking something, ladies and gentlemen, when we're lacking something spiritually or emotionally, we will attempt to fill the void. Have you ever felt as though something was lacking, something was missing from your life? Well, of course. That is common to the human experience. God placed eternity in the heart of man. We have desires, spiritually and emotionally, and we will go searching for ways in which to satisfy those desires. Most of the various emotional disorders and addictions that people struggle with stem from spiritual and emotional emptiness. Such people try to fill the emptiness with something, and too often we fill it with all of the wrong things. Sex, drugs, alcohol, food, Material possessions are often used to fill emptiness. The culture of addiction in our country is clear evidence that people are desperately in need of Jesus. So how is it then that the Bible would indicate we're to use our bodies? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, as the Apostle Paul addresses some issues of morality, he writes about fornication and makes it emphatically clear to us that our bodies are not made to be engaged in fornication. That's not why God gave us our bodies. In verses 19 and 20, Paul begins to draw some conclusions on what he's said. Our topic tonight is not fornication, but the underlying principle is applicable in other areas of the use of the body. He asks the question, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The value of the body, it is interesting here that the value of the body is not attributed back to the fact it's been created in the image of God and given a soul, but rather the body is viewed from the context of a Savior who shed His blood to save the soul. In light of the great sacrifice of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, we are indebted, especially indebted in our use of the body in the service of our Savior. Paul, though, he uses the temple as an analogy. Our body is the temple of God. It is an analogy that is very familiar with people, even people who are not religious.